you would, turn with me to 1 John 3. We've been talking about faith in the second service and the Wednesday night service. We've been, Tuesday services, we've been working on entering into the presence of God. We've been working on coming to know Him in a greater way. And part of that is coming into a greater intimacy. As we begin to know Him, we begin to experience a greater intimacy with God. As we begin to step into His presence more and more, we begin to find something about the Father that we didn't know before. Probably about 2 months ago, I spoke of a moment that the Lord had shared with me. Where on a Wednesday afternoon, I met Him as Daddy. And that has left an indelible print in my life. And I haven't known how to share that. I haven't known how to articulate some of what it left in my life. But see, there's something as you, when we come to know Him as Daddy, it changes the very nature of the relationship that we can have. It begins to change and affirm us in the ways that we could not have been affirmed any other way. It begins to give us a place where the very presence of the Father is now something not to be run from, but to be gathered into and welcomed. And so with that in mind, I just want to just introduce the basic part of the text this morning out of 1 John 3. And hopefully I get through all this. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "How great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." There's something that begins to happen within us when we begin to understand the intimacy that God has for us. We begin to step in and truly become children of God. We can begin to recognize that the very mission that Christ was on was to express who the Father is. The Old Testament did a lot of speaking and foretelling of who Jesus was going to be. And Jesus came to express to us just who the Father is. John 14 and 6 tells us that when we have seen Him, when we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. Last week we talked about sanctifying our hearts and sanctifying Christ as Lord in our heart. When we begin to sanctify Christ as Lord in our heart, now we can begin to see just exactly what it was He was trying to show us. When we sanctify Christ in the heart, we're sanctifying the anointing and the anointed one. We're sanctifying the Messiah, the one who was prophesied, who is now here. And as we sanctify Him, then what we're doing is we're beginning to come into agreement with what He has said and demonstrated. And what He has said and demonstrated is, I'm showing you the Father. I'm showing you what He's really like. He's not just some book of rules. He's not just good behaviors. He's one who wants to have a living relationship with you. A living relationship. Turn with me to Matthew 11. And while you're on your way there, I'm going to share a little bit more. We know that in John 14, Jesus declared that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through Him. That tells us a lot. That tells us a lot. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him, then every other religion that tries to say that they can come to the Father is telling you a lie. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, then doesn't it make sense that the Father is the destination? If he's the way, if he's the truth behind everything, and what he comes is to reveal the Father, then it doesn't make sense that the destination is the Father. When the destination is the Father, now we can come into that true intimacy that he's been offering us. Matthew 11, this is a familiar scripture. Verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Anyone the Son wills to reveal him. Those are the ones that are going to know the Father. The ones that he is looking for to know the Father are the ones that he is willing for you to do this. In other words, it's his desire. He's desiring for us to enter into this relationship with the Father. It's his desire, and it's only by his desire that we get to enter into that relationship. When he comes to reveal. He reveals the Father, and he begins to reveal the character of the Father, and that's beginning to be indicated. Even in these next few verses, we begin to see something about the character and the nature of the Father, because it shows up in this nature of his relationship. Verse 28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because rest was within him. Rest was within him because it comes from the Father. Rest was within him because rest is part of the nature of the Father, because he's demonstrating the nature of the Father, and he's demonstrating that nature is rest. When we come to the rest, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You shall find rest for your souls. That rest comes from him in part from not being at odds with the Father. There's a rest when we no longer have to worry about fearing coming into his presence. It's possible to have a relationship with someone and desire to be in relationship with them and yet still fear them. If that's our relationship with our Father, because that was our relationship with our natural Father, then that relationship can never have the intimacy that it was designed to have. It'll never have the fullness that it was designed to have. Why? Because there's something that will always keep you just a little bit apart. You'll always be just out of arm's reach. You'll always just be just wherever you think it's safe enough to be. In other words, you'll be close, but not too close. Because if I get too close, something bad might happen to me. So what we do is we begin to understand and begin to look and recognize that he desires to have all of us. To be complete and entire with no separation. No separation. There's a rest that comes when we can become and we can just come before the Father and we can just be with him. Make a great demonstration for the Father. Hallelujah. We can just be near him and we can just be at rest. That's the rest he's wanting us to enter into. A rest from seeking to try to justify ourselves, from seeking to try to account for ourselves, a rest from all the other issues that have been in our life that have caused separation, a rest from the fear, a rest from the performance that has been necessary to maintain our place with him. He says, no, come into rest. I'm not looking for you to come into my presence by performance. I'm not looking for you to come into my presence with a fear of who I am. He says, no, lay that aside. Let it rest. Come and enjoy being with me. Come close to me and be with me and be at rest. That's what he's looking for, is to change the dynamic of how we approach him, because when we do that, then it begins to draw us into a place that we've never been. Why am I sharing this with you today? Well, because even though that experience happened to me 2 months ago, it's taken me a long time to begin to find words to meet and describe what I see or what I felt, what I entered into. I don't know, entered into, I guess, is really more of a way to describe it. But and this came in part because I heard a message by Derek Prince, who had been in ministry for 48 years, had shared many times on the love of God. And after 48 years, he finally entered into a place where he had an experience with God, and he knew what it was to know him as Daddy, as Abba, Father. 48 years of ministry. I've been barely around for a little more than 48 years. That's 48 years of ministry. And yet, what he was doing was talking about God, but not experiencing God. What I'm trying to create for you today is an interest and a desire to begin to experience him as Daddy. Not just to talk about it, not just to have a head knowledge of it, but to come into an experience of it, because that experience will change you. That experience will forever mark you and make you different than what you were. And it comes because we have a desire for a true intimacy with the Lord. So it's taken me a while to get to this place, but it didn't take me 48 years, so yay God. The word there says that Christ reveals the Father. He wills to anyone he wills to reveal him to. That reminds me of what's said in John 17, where he wills for us to be with him where he is. John 17, verse 23 or 24, somewhere around there. He wills for us to be with him where he is. In John 17, which is called the high priestly prayer, that high priestly prayer, basically his whole focus in John 17 is to reveal the Father. He says, I've kept them in your name. I've revealed to them your name. And what does he kept? He uses the name of the Father six times. Six times in that one chapter, in that one prayer. He refers to him as Father. What he's trying to reveal, the name he's trying to reveal is the name of the Father, the name of Abba, to begin to change our perspective of who Father is. Because all they knew was this taskmaster. They knew him as a taskmaster. They knew him as the great God Jehovah. And they knew him to some degree as their provider. But they didn't know him as Abba. They weren't allowed to come into the closeness of that sanctuary and experience him in the way that we have been given the opportunity to experience him. To know him as some distant, far-off God, it was what was kind of there, but what he wanted is to come into the closeness that was made available through our new nature, through this new awakening that we have within us, this new position that we have in Christ. Back to Matthew 11, verse 30, it says, for my yoke is easy, and my load, my burden, is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. What he's looking to do is share with you the nature of who the Father is. Because as he shares with you the nature of who the Father is, as he walks with you, he says, I'm willing to take your burdens upon me. And I will just begin to share with you the nature of who God is. The nature of who he is. It's amazing to me. I never tell anybody what to expect when they come in for Sozo. But everyone, when they come in and they begin to walk through the processes, and as they get done, or even before they get done, the one thing that every person without fail has to say is that I feel light. I feel light. Why? Because darkness and sin have a weight to them that we don't even recognize that we're carrying until we experience what it's like not to carry it. When we've been taken out of darkness and into the light, now we can begin to actually see and feel what lightness is about. See, there's a weight to the sin that we don't understand, but he says, that's not my character. That's not who I am. Who I am is light. And my burden, therefore, is light. And as we begin to understand, as we begin to see that, then we can begin to recognize that we too can walk in that same light, to be light with Him. John 1, if you would turn with me there, just because I want to set one more little bullet point for you. Just in case the other ones weren't convincing enough to you, the other scriptures, this scripture should pretty much tile it in for you. John 1, verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Christ Jesus Himself came with one mission. Christ Jesus Himself came with one mission to explain the Father, to reveal to us who the Father is, begin to show us the Father. So now, I want to give you to you eight benefits of knowing the Father. I'm going to just read them to you for just a moment for those of you who take notes. One, to experience love. He comes to show us love in a new way. Two, to sense our personal identity. Three, to recognize our home is in heaven. These are benefits of knowing the Father. Four, to imprint His character. To imprint His character. Five, is to be able to walk at peace and harmony, to draw close, like I was talking about earlier, to draw close. Six, total security. Six is total security. Seven is motivation for serving. I was trying to get to the end of the list. Seven is motivation for serving. Eight is the source of our hope. One, John 1 and 3. The very first thing he said, did we even know this love? I think I adequately kind of already explained this one. But to know this love, this acceptance without performance. Do you know how many people there are in the world? Almost all the men that I ever talk to have some kind of a performance issue in their life. Why? Because they are still trying to find acceptance in the eyes of their father. We're still trying to find some kind of acceptance from Him, from somebody who probably wasn't able to give you that acceptance in the first place. But as long as there's that need, we're still trying to satisfy that need, and sometimes that satisfying that need comes out in very unhealthy ways. But see, when the Father truly becomes Abba, Daddy, when we truly step into this relationship of Abba, Daddy, then that need to prove ourselves in that way, to find acceptance in that way, is forever satisfied. We no longer have to seek those other things that we have been seeking that were wrong, because we now have a relationship with Daddy, Father, Abba. Once I counseled with this man who had an extreme sexual addiction. But what it really came down to was his desire to prove himself to his daddy, and somehow that was tied up in his mind that was what daddy approved of. See, what dad approves of can make a big difference as to who we turn out to be. There's a person that I know whose dad, the way they had to earn approval for their dad was very twisted, because see, the dad would actually reward them for telling lies and make them eat pepper if they told the truth. Now, you can imagine how that begins to twist your thinking about certain things, and then how God has to come into a relationship with you to bring truth into that area and untwist it. So there's something that God wants to do, and that's that He wants to, in His love, He wants to show us His place of acceptance is total and complete, because you're His delight. When we understand that we truly are the delight of His eye, we understand that we're truly His delight, then we can feel that acceptance. And that comes from a new experience of love. A love that comes without having to be earned. A love that comes without reservation, without hesitation. A love that comes immediately. I tell you, when I look at my little grandbaby, when my little grandson, there's not anything that he could ask. He can't talk yet, but if he could, there's not anything he could ask that I wouldn't do. Why? Because the love is just total and complete and immediate. That's the same kind of love. That's the same reason that He called for us to be little children, so that we could actually come into a nature of an untainted relationship with Him. Because as we've grown up, as we became adults, our relationship, our understanding of relationship moved out of the place of innocence and into something that has been tainted by our experiences in life. Depending upon who it was that we had as parents, it depends on how much that tainting really was. Parents aren't your only influences, but they're by far the biggest influence, especially in the early years. Those you went to school with began to taint. Those that you've worked with began to taint. Everywhere, every experience you've had along the way has begun to taint how you can begin to perceive the Father. He says, come to me as little children, because there's an innocence of relationship that He's looking for. There's an ease and an adoration, a fellowship. See, a relationship with the Father should be something where we have this ease of a relationship. It's something easy to walk into. It's no longer, there's no hesitation on our part. Because there has not been a hesitation on His part. He accepted you. He knew who you were going to be before you were ever born. And yet He said, I accept you. So the only other issue then is the issue that's within us, because it wasn't within Him. The fellowship that He's looking for and desiring has to come from our being willing to let Him bring us back to the restoration of innocence. When we do that, it erases the disappointment. It erases the hurts. It erases all the things that the enemy has tried to put in place to clog up the well. Jesus and the Father, they've come to open the well, to allow the fullness of the flow of the Spirit to come out. And when that happens, we begin to experience love in a way that maybe we couldn't have experienced it before. In a way that we didn't have access before. I can't tell you how many people don't even... I mean, it's amazing. When I went to Columbia the first time, they had me lead the ladies' meeting. was one of the I did every service. Basically, I did every service for the whole 10 days I was there. But one of the services was a ladies' meeting. I didn't realize it was a ladies' meeting until I was there. And so anyway, I just began to speak about the Father. And I began to speak about the blessing of the Father. And I released the blessing on the Father. And as I released the blessing on the Father, deliverance happened all over the place. Just supernaturally, just God was doing deliverance just as we laid hands on them and released the blessing of the Father. And what I didn't know until later was that only one person out of all the people that were there even knew who their father was. See, there's an assignment that the enemy has had upon this generation in America as well as anywhere else. That's the reason we're seeing all these attacks, these things between people and the police and everything else. They're trying to remove our ability to understand and relate with authority. Because if we can do that, they can move society into a godlessness. And the more they can move society away from authority, away from genuine understanding of those things, they can move them into a godlessness, and then only the elite prosper. God wants to have a different system. God wants to have a different system. He wants to have a relationship with every living being, every living believer, the ones who, if you will come, he says, if you'll just come and believe upon me, believe upon Christ, believe upon the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, believe upon the one who came as the light. If you'll believe upon him, I'll make you children of God by my will. That's John 1:12. He says, by his will, he'll make you children of God. That's the relationship he wants to have. His will is for you to have this relationship, to be children, and for him to be Abba. See, when we have a sense of personal identity, it helps us to begin to know who we are. That's what I was just talking about this assault that has been on this generation, because he's trying to take the generation, they're trying to take away the idea and the understanding of who his father. When they do that, then they move you into godlessness. When we don't understand our relationship with Father, then we can't understand authority. If we can't understand authority, we can't understand what keeps us safe and what keeps us anchored. God wants to move us into a place of fullness with Him. He wants us to know who we are. Remember, if you're named Williamson, if you're named Johnson, that's what I'm talking about. It keeps your identity. Why? Because Johnson was simply, at one point, John's son. In parts of Illinois, I'm still known as Tom's boy. I'm 50-something years old, and I'm still known there as Tom's boy. This is Tom. When I'm introduced as Tom's boy. In another generation, that could have been my last name, Tom's boy. Tom's son. There is something that the Lord is trying to show us here. Is this identity, the sense of identity, the sense of who we are, comes from our Father in the natural as well as in the spirit. Everything from the name for Father, Abba, number one in the Greek, everything sprang from that. Everything sprang from the Father. Everything that is and exists came initially from the Father. When our identity comes out of that, when our identity is revealed to us in that way, then it gives us the ability to have a confidence in who we are. I'm not going to get to 8 if I don't hurry up. Our home is in heaven. Oh, that's the problem, is the bigger ones are last. The home is in heaven. Romans 8:15 talks about the spirit of adoption, whereby we would call him Abba, Father. Verse 17 goes on to talk about that spirit of adoption, then, because if we're children of God, then we are also joint heirs with him in the inheritance. Well, this inheritance, first and foremost, is the inheritance of an eternal salvation. There are other inheritances that are involved, but the very first inheritance, the very primary inheritance, is our place in heaven. And how many know that it's very awesome to not just be running away from hell, but actually to be running towards heaven? So many people get saved because they don't want to go to hell, but you know, that's not a sufficient reason. You got to want to be in heaven. You got to want, and if you have something and you're at odds with this person, you don't want to be there. It's like, well, I mean, see how close I can get to Jesus, but I got to stay away from that father character. No, that doesn't work that way, does it? No, we want to draw near. We want to be running to Him, because as we're running to Him, there is something that is satisfying about that journey. There is something that's wonderful about that journey, because we're awakening in us who we're really called to be. We're awakening in us our real nature, because we're running to the Father. When we begin to imprint His character, number four, we begin to imprint His character. And as we imprint His character, what did it say in Hebrews 1, verse 3? He's the brilliance. He's the radiance of the Father's glory. The very essence of His nature. The very essence of His nature. Upholding all things with the word of His power. But basically, He is demonstrating to us, Christ was demonstrating to us, the very nature of the Father. That imprint that is happening there as we begin to look at Jesus and we begin to look at the Father, there's an imprint of character and integrity that is happening on us. And as we do that, there should be something changing in us so that whatever it was that we used to do, if we were stealing pens from work, we no longer want to do that. Because why? Because the imprint and the nature of the Father has been imprinted upon our heart. We're being changed from glory to glory, like it says in 2 Corinthians 3. We're being changed from glory to glory. Why? Because we're looking at the image of the Father, and that image is being printed in our heart as a result. Imprinting His character. Five is peace and harmony, drawing close. Ephesians 2 and 13 through 15 says that we draw near. I'll just read it real quick. But now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. There's no more separation between us and Him. And by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, that's the hatred which existed in the law of commandments. The enmity was the result of a sin that was within us, and He forever dissolved that. He forever broke that off of us. The breaker anointing has shifted us out of that place and into a place of closeness with Him. And as we draw into that closeness with Him, drawing into the very nature, it allows Him to begin to imprint upon us just who we are. It begins to shift us into a place of faith for what He's going to bring next. But first and foremost, it establishes us in Him. Number six, total security. John 10:29 says that when He has a hold of us, that we can't be snatched out of His hand. Go with me to Isaiah 41. John 10:29 says we can't be snatched out of His hand. That His power is so and such that we can't be taken away. There's a total security, a confidence in that. And in that confidence is that we don't have any fear to have to relate to. We don't have any fear of abandonment issues with our Heavenly Father. Because He's not going to abandon us. Maybe your natural father did. Maybe you didn't even know your natural father. But the promise from God is that I'm not going to abandon you. Here we can read about the promise of God in Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says this. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were angered at you will be ashamed and dishonored. Somebody ever had anybody that was angry at them? Those are going to be ashamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. That's good news for somebody. Those who contend with you will perish. It'll be as nothing. It'll be as if they hadn't ever been there. That you're not going to be affected or in any way diminished because they were there. You will seek those who will quarrel with you, but not find them. For those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. Verse 13, for I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, I will help you. He says, in this verse, he says that we don't have to fear. He says it twice, so therefore he's pretty well emphasizing that. And he says that he's going to strengthen us. Why? Because he's carrying us around by his hand. How many of you, when you were little, that maybe you went somewhere and you went to a store, you went to go across the street and your dad grabbed your hand and made sure you didn't run off while you were going across the street and get yourself hurt. This is the nature of what he's talking about here. He's going to come alongside us and protect us in his right hand. He draws alongside of us with his right hand. He grabs a hold of your hand and he walks with you and he keeps you safe. He keeps you from hurting yourself because you don't know better. And he keeps you from in the place where you're closest to him, because the safest place in all the universe is right there by him. He's grabbing you by your hand. And he's protecting you. He's sheltering you. And he's keeping you from falling into harm. That's his promise. There's a safety and a security that can't be found any other way. But see, there's also not only safety and security in there, but there's increase in there. Because what I'm going to show you just now, look in Isaiah 42. Verse 6 is a promise that he's given. But this time he's promising not to us. He's speaking prophetically to Christ Jesus. And as he's speaking to Christ Jesus, this is what he has to say in verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. For I am the Lord, and that is my name. I am the Lord, and that is my name. What happened? What is this? What we see is that the very actions that Christ Jesus did upon the earth were precipitated by this promise from the Father that I will take your hand and I will walk you through it. I will keep you safe in the midst of it. I will keep you safe in the midst of it. And as I hold onto your hand, as I'm holding onto your hand, I'm going to cause you to set the captive free. I'm going to cause you to bring light into the darkness. I'm going to cause you to be a light unto the nations. I'm going to cause you to change all of the history that has been known before your time. There's a place of increase that he's bringing us to. There's a place of increase. Why? Because he's got us in his right hand. Because he's holding on to us and he's walking with us. He's sheltering over us and protecting us. He's shepherding us right into the increase. It's his desire to bring us into the increase. It's his desire to utilize us, and as he's walking with us to keep us safe, he's also utilizing us to speak to the nations. To release to the nations. To release light where there was no light. To set the captives free. To take them out of the dungeon and put them in the place of safety. This is his nature. As we become to know the Father, the one of the benefits of knowing the Father is having him right here and having his hand and your hand in his hand and knowing that you're safe. And because you're safe, you can now do what you've been called to do. Because you can't be snatched out of his hand. Adam 7 was motivation for serving. And Christ said in John 8 and 29, he said, he does all things that are pleasing unto the Father. The things that he does are the things that are pleasing to the Father. John 8, 29. He comes to satisfy. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. And a whole bunch of that was just revealing to us what the Father looked like. But he wants to do the will of the Father. Our success will never bias the safety. It doesn't matter how successful you are. Matter of fact, a lot of times the more successful you are, the more worried you are, the more fearful you are about it going away. But your motivation, when your motivation is to be with the Father, whether you're a success in the eyes of the world or not a success in the eyes of the world, is no longer your motivation, but when your motivation comes from being with Him, then He can make you a success without reservation, without qualification, because He's the one who's doing it when you recognize Him. Because He can protect you and shepherd over you even in that. And there's a security that is found that you won't find any other way. Because your dependency is no longer upon the things of this world, but your dependency is upon Him and Him alone. That's what He's looking for. Ephesians 4 and 1, I'm going to read it to you. This is Paul speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. The motivation of why we do what we do. We can do things that were wonderful, but if we're doing it out of a wrong heart, none of it matters to the Father. If we're doing it only out of a spirit of competition or jealousy or whatever it is, whatever it might be, if we're only doing those things because we want to be seen, then it didn't count for anything before the Father. This is the motivation with which we serve. The motivation to serve. We need to be motivated to serve. We need to have a heart of servitude. And then a heart of servitude though needs to come. Because why? Because our relationship with the Father is already set and we're close to Him. And now, like Jesus, our only desire is to fulfill His will. When our desire is to fulfill His will, now then He can utilize us for any platform that He wishes. And we'll do it with wholeheartedness. Lastly, He becomes our source for our hope. When He becomes a source for our hope, then we begin to purify ourselves. Like it said in 1 John 3:3. 1 John 3:3 says, when He becomes our hope, then we'll purify ourselves as He purified Himself. When we begin to stand forth and we see the Father and we recognize that this is the destination, because when Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then the Father must be, by definition, the destination. And when we stand in the fullness of that destination, when we stand in the fullness of a relationship with Him, then the purification of our vessel becomes very simple. Because why? We're wanting to do the will of the Father. I no longer need anything to be a buffer between me and the Father. All I want to do is erase anything that's between me and the Father. Jesus said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. When Philip asked, will you show us the Father? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have I been with you so long and you still don't got the point? I am demonstrating to you who the Father is. I understand, Philip, that you had a long history of being taught in another way, but the thing I want you to know most of all is that I am showing you the Father. I came to reveal the Father. Why? Because I want to have that relationship with you that I can only have when you truly know who the Father is. As we're coming and we're looking to come into that place with the Lord. We're looking to come into this place of drawing close to Him. When we're doing that, then there's going to be a moment where you're going to come face to face with the Father. I want you to seek out that moment. I want you to have that encounter with Him that changes your life forever. Because there is in that encounter with Him that changes your life forever, there is a confidence that will come forward in you that can't happen any other way. You'll never have to draw back from Him again. You'll never have to fall back or fall away from Him again. When you have encountered Him as Abba, when you know Him as Abba, when you know Him as Daddy God, then as Daddy God, you will find that every moment from that moment can be precious with Him. It's amazing how many things have come to try to disturb in these last 2 months, have tried to come and disturb this thing that I found with the Father. But you know what? It's not going to disturb it. It's not going to disturb it. Why? Because when it happens, there's an indelible print that is left in your life. He has been imprinted in your heart in a way that can't be changed. That imprint is in my heart and it's in the Spirit. And I guarantee that mark can be seen by Him and by anything that I come up against. So know that He's looking to have that same relationship with each and every one of us. Derek Prince waited 48 years to find that experience. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Don't wait for 48 years of ministry. Just do it today. Let's do it today. Let Him change us today. Let's experience Him in this way today. Let's not just talk about it. Let's experience it. Experience that love. Experience the dynamo of energy and strength that comes from not having to be in fear, but to being in anticipation. An anticipation for who He is. An anticipation for our next contact. An anticipation for our next encounter. I made it through all 8. Hallelujah.